Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Bob, we are witnessing tonight a modern tragedy and drama of Shakespearean proportion being played out live on television. And people are going to the freeway, parking their cars, and waving at O.J., we're told.
Simpson driving in the white Bronco down the 405 freeway and into infamy. This is NBC calling it on this day in 1994.
I'm scared, everybody, man. Your kids need you. I've already said goodbye to my kids.
Listen, no, we're not going to say goodbye to your kids. You're going to see them again. You want to see them again. Please, you're scaring us. You're scaring them.
Tom Lang, the detective, trying to talk O.J. down.
Don't throw it all away.
Can't take this.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You got your whole family out here.
I can't.
They love you, man. Don't throw this away. Don't do this. They love you. Don't do it, O.J. It's going to work itself out. It's going to work. O.J., help.
We're joined at the moment by Al Michaels, a longtime friend of O.J.'s. What are you thinking?
Well, I think earlier in the week, all of us close to O.J. didn't believe that he had been involved in this. And now I think there's a sense of resignation and has been for the last 24 hours, and we can't believe what's happening.
For an innocent man to engage in this conduct would be bizarre. So unfortunately, however much the public would like to keep alive a hero,
sure,
his conduct here suggests that his psyche has surrendered to the truth, that he has committed a homicide. Death is the ultimate way to close your eyes to the truth.
Hey, it's going to be better tomorrow. Get rid of the gun. Toss it, please. Too many people love you, man. Don't give it all up. Don't hurt everybody. You're going to hurt everybody.
I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to go in the cold. That's all I'm going to do. That's all I'm trying to do.
Think about everybody else, all right?
I couldn't do it on a freeway. I couldn't do it in a field. I wanted to do it at a grave. I wanted to do it in my house.
O.J. Simpson, the world knows, despite the mountain of evidence, that's what we called it, mountain of evidence against the juice. He beat the double murder rap. He was accused of almost cutting off the head of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, the mother of two of his young children, and her friend Ron Goldman. But what goes around comes around. Today, I really believe that, what goes around comes around. Today's one of the a man who was one of the greatest pro football players ever. Charming, Hertz Rent-A-Car spokesman. I mean, even when he was with the Buffalo Bills, he ran for 2,000 yards in one season in the snow. Today, though, karma. Simpson sitting behind bars, serving at least 9 years, probably a lot more than that, for a bogus Las Vegas armed robbery that should have netted him a year or less in jail. That's why I believe in karma. What goes around comes around. So he's where he should be, even if the reason he's there isn't the real reason that he should be there. But the reason I even mention O.J. on this anniversary is that I believe that that murder trial, I was just interviewed about this by a French guy yesterday, French TV. They're still obsessed with this case. I believe that Simpson's murder trial revealed in a way that we are seeing today this gaping racial divide in our country. The dramatically different way black people and white people reacted to his acquittal showed more clearly than anything I could ever say, anything any commentator could ever say, that race is the biggest domestic issue of our time. You can deny it if you want. If you don't believe me, ask any cop in any town in this country how he or she feels about doing their job right now with the feedback they're getting from the community. And if you don't think race is all that, then you should call me at 866-HERALDO. So I want to come back to more current events. I'll lighten it up a little bit. I want to talk about two men who both profess to be the best in the world. I admire both of them, despite their braggadocio. I mean, I've been accused of that myself from time to time. Maybe that's why I relate. I'll get to Donald Trump and his reaction. He's one of them. Donald Trump, the reaction to his big announcement yesterday that he's running for president. But first, LeBron James. Here's the call.
Jumper's no good. Curry the rebound. It's taken 40 years. But once again, the Bay team is the best team. The Golden State Warriors have won the NBA title.
All right,
final
LeBron.
Score, Warriors 105 and the Cleveland Cavaliers 97.
LeBron playing his heart out. He almost never sat on the bench. Played most of every game, virtually all of every game. He averaged 36 points, 13 rebounds, almost 9 assists. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, mine, I adopted them. So depleted by injuries, losing in the finals in 6 games to the surging Golden State Warriors, led by the MVP, Stephen Curry. He found his shot. A guy I never heard of. You ever hear of Andre Iguodala?
Not until the NBA Finals, no.
25 points, like Curry, he averaged, or he got at least in this last game. They just wore down the Cavs. They had no help from former Nick J.R. Smith. He choked almost every chance he had. He was just as bad on the Cavs as he was on the Knicks. So my poor wife Erica's struggling, crime-riddled, often ridiculed, championship-deprived hometown where I'm going for Father's Day.
The mistake on the lake is sometimes called.
Shut up. Will not have its, would have been its first championship in any pro sport in more than 50 years. The only consolation I can offer fellow fans of the Cavaliers is wait until next year when King James will be back. They'll be back with the two All-Pros that the Cavs lost to injury. Kyrie Irving, you watch him play, fractured his kneecap. Kevin Love dislocated his shoulder. So they'll be back next year. Cleveland can be proud, even though King James not too happy. Here's James.
You lose Kev, an All-Star, and then you lose Kyrie, another All-Star. Tried as much as we could to try to make up for those guys, but it's a lot of talent sitting in suits.
A lot of talent sitting in suits. Oh, man, that was heartbreaking. Okay, without further ado, here again, the announcement from Donald Trump.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am officially running for President of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
He had to know, my friend Donald, had to know that his combative stream of consciousness announcement that he was a candidate for the presidency of the United States of America would make him the subject of some intense mockery by almost every mainstream media outlet, but certainly some vicious stuff. The New York Daily News, which hates Trump, put together a clip reel of some of Donald's more outrageous points.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
They put the music.
I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. I tell you that. Hey, I have lobbyists, I have to tell you. I have lobbyists that can produce anything for me. They're great. Hey, I'm not saying they're stupid. I like China. I sell apartment for I just sold an apartment for $15 million to somebody from China. Am I supposed to dislike them? I don't need anybody's money. It's nice. I don't need anybody's money. I'm using my own money. I'm not using the lobbyists. I'm not using donors. I don't care. I'm really rich. I'll show you that. Saudi Arabia without us is gone. They're gone. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me. And I'll build them very inexpensively. I will build a great, great wall.
All right, that's Donald Trump as being mocked by the New York Daily News. I caution you, remember the old adage, he who laughs last, laughs best. Eddie's calling 866-Geraldo. Eddie, what's up? What are you thinking about?
Geraldo, I'm going to vote for Trump so he can get into Congress and say them great two words he said to you. You're fired.
Who, you want to fire all of Congress, Eddie? That's it. I guess Eddie just fired me. I'll tell you what I think of Trump. I'll give you the headline right now. Well, let me just give you this tease. I have some strong feelings about what Trump said about Mexico and immigrants, as you might expect. I will share those with you and take your calls at 866-Geraldo. It is 17 minutes after 10 o'clock. 866-Geraldo is the number here at 77 WABC. He's the fodder for punchlines, but I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, he is no joke. I think that Donald Trump is far more formidable than he is generally given credit for. I think that he will absolutely alter the tone, tenor, the excitement in the debates, and I am confident that he'll be in that top tier of 10 candidates. As I said, and will continue to say, and will say when I see him face to face, I only hope that he moderates his harshness vis-a-vis Mexican immigrants. Interesting, he only mentioned the Mexicans, didn't mention Asians or any of the other groups that are coming in. But he and I, a lot of you and I disagree, ladies and gentlemen, on this volatile issue. But we'll talk about Trump first. Here is Stacy in Middletown. Hi, Stacy. Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hi.
Oh, a lady. Oh, yeah. Hi, lady.
Yes, I'm a woman.
Oh, you are indeed.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I have to say that this is definitely like a big shot of adrenaline for America, I think. I mean, you know, he had a pretty angry tone, and rightfully so. But I think he really kept a tone because, you know, this is a man that definitely knows how to communicate and negotiate with people. And if he doesn't know how, he will find a way to make something work. And it's incredible. I mean,
contrast him to the candidates, the other candidates that have announced, like Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, all the others. You tell me where... What do you think of Trump compared to the politicians we see the pros that have announced?
Well, to be honest, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't really follow a lot of them. But
do you like Chris Christie?
I can't really comment because I don't really know much about them. But I feel very strongly about Trump going into office. I mean,
well, what's the vibe? You got to share. Tell me why. What is it about him that you find so attractive?
Well, he's very, he knows how to communicate. He knows how to get things done. And he's confident, and rightfully so. This is a man that has been bankrupt multiple times and has brought himself back. And, you know, he might brag a lot and all. And, you know, these people might be putting clown faces on him in the media and all. But you know what? They're probably very jealous, and they're scared half to death. Like, you know, this guy is going to whip things around. He already has. It's like, I am a big, you know, I really like the idea of having an executive come into office that is not a politician. I think I've been praying for this.
All right, Stacey, well said. So. Well said. I think excellent call. What do you think? Okay, here's Charlie in the Bronx. What's up, Charlie?
Morning, Geraldo. Donald Trump's problem is he's unwilling to listen to other people. My personal anecdote was I met him when the Rangers won the Stanley Cup back in, what was that, 94. I was directing traffic on 32nd Street and 7th Avenue. This giant limo pulls up. I hear the Jaws music in my head. The window rolls down. There's Donald Trump and Marla Maples looking absolutely beautiful. And he asked me, "Officer, what's going on here?" And he goes, "Oh, well, the Rangers just won the Stanley Cup." He goes, "Oh, yes, how stupid of me. Ha, 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 I forgot." And I look at her and he goes, "Hey, she's a keeper, man. You better not let her go." Did he listen to me? No. Could have saved himself.
I was wondering where that story was going, Charlie. So you're an ex-cop?
Yes. Well, no. X is for guys who get fired. I'm just fired.
Okay. All right. A retired cop.
As far as he goes, you know, you mentioned Hillary. No. Chris Christie, that whole debacle with the Washington Bridge, I definitely think he knew about it or should have known about it. He's just too arrogant to be president.
That's interesting. You think Christie's too arrogant, but Trump is not?
No, he's arrogant also. I mean, I don't know how much time we have to go on about this. I mean, I really think, you know, despite how my low opinion of politicians in general and professional politicians is, you need some diplomacy about you. Donald Trump is like, I'm imagining him going up against Vladimir Putin. He goes, "Vladimir, like, you know, you should really do this and do that." You know, and I'm not going to listen to you, Mr. Trump.
You could, Charlie, could do your whole Saturday Night Live routine. Thank you for your service.
You can't even bribe me. I make too much money on my own that I do from the other people, you know?
Okay, buddy. Also in the Bronx, David's on the line. Thanks, calling 866 Geraldo. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, Gerardo. Chris Christie, Donald Trump ticket.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of testosterone.
Listen, I think his speech would have almost been perfect yesterday if he would have modified his immigration stance.
I agree. Way too harsh.
He lost 40% right there. I think he lost 40%.
Unless he moderates, thank you for the call. He lost the sector of the electorate he needs to win the general election. But I don't think he's thinking about the general election. He's thinking about the Republican primary right now. Here's Frank in New Jersey. What are you thinking, Frank?
Hey, Gerardo, thanks for the honor. Listen, I think this is phenomenal for the presidential race. I think Mr. Trump is going to spark the debate like nothing has ever been done before. He's going to make the politicians talk about the issues. If he's lucky enough to get into a debate with other candidates, he's not going to let them, you know, sway off the issue to go to something else because they want to answer a previous question. He's going to make them stick to the facts. Anything can happen here at this point. You know, these other candidates, I mean, Bush interests me. Rubio interests me. Jindal, if he gets in, interests me. Christie, nothing at all. I have no time for the man.
Yeah, I think Chris is over. Frank, thanks for the call. Noam will check the polls if there are any. Come out, Virginia.
Only the good die young.
So Billy Joel was supposed to do The Garden on September 25th, Friday night. Pope Francis is coming to town. So Billy Joel,
who I think is Jewish, isn't he? I think he's Italian, no?
I think Billy Joel's Jewish.
Oh, he might be.
Anyway, he's agreed to move his date to Saturday the 26th of September here at Madison Square Garden. But the reason I brought up his religion is he wants to open for the Pope.
Oh, that'd be good opening.
Right, that'd be great, great. Somebody check his Jewishness. My wife has a Judar.
She keeps a list, eh?
She keeps a list. All right, what do you think of Trump? What do you think of politics generally in this country, the way it's shaken out? 866 Geraldo. Mike, you're first. What's up, man?
How you doing, Geraldo?
Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I had the pleasure of meeting you in 1990 when the Tribeca Film Center opened up.
Oh, how about that? I sort of remember that.
Yeah, we had a nice little chat. Billy Joel, that's great. He's bowing to the Pope. He's giving way to the Pope, the franchise, to play his music. Speaking of music, Geraldo.
I love this Pope,
you know,
by the way.
One line. Donald Trump, what can we say about him as I looked at today's post? The lyric to a song, I was a drummer back in the day. I still go to open mic nights every once in a while. Had one last night. The lyrics to a song from Springsteen apply to Donald Trump and Mike Bloomberg. You know, poor man want to be rich. Rich man want to be king. The king ain't satisfied till he rules everything.
So that's interesting. That reminds me of the white lady posing as a black lady, you know, yes, for the NAACP. Never enough. People are never satisfied with who they are. And, you know, that's my thing about it. Never envy anybody. Never envy anybody. So,
Geraldo, I've always enjoyed your work over the years.
Thanks,
if I
buddy.
Could just finish with this, with what he said about the Mexicans. Oh, yeah. Hey, Donald, please. You're narcissistic.
Hello. Yeah, I'm listening to your radio in the background, Mike. Sorry. The thing about the Mexicans is it's so grating. I mean, it's so unnecessary. I mean, that the murderers and rapists. I mean, the experience statistically is just the opposite. I mean, are there, you know, nestled among this huge wave of undocumented immigrants, some people with criminal backgrounds, even violent past? Of course there are. There are in any neighborhood, even the Upper East Side, you probably find people who have committed awful offenses at some point. But the point is, my point is, the vast majority are law-abiding. They below the radar. They just want a better life for themselves. And you can handle that issue, the issue of immigration and the need to control the borders in a way that doesn't seem as if it's directed at a specific ethnic group and it makes people who are Latino feel bad. Contrast that, for example, to Jeb Bush speaking Spanish so effortlessly. Last night on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, that is a breathtaking development in American politics. And I want people to understand that. When you consider there are almost 50 million people of Latino heritage in this country, and that they generally, like the Jews or like the Asians, vote Democrat. In huge numbers, the overwhelming majority of Latinos vote for the Democrat. But they are the swing voters, states like Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, North Carolina, Texas, of course, Arizona. You know, you go on and on. Did I say Colorado? But there are so many states where they make the difference. Florida, of course. That, you know, if a Republican can, in that smooth fashion, in the way, incidentally, his brother George W. Bush, when he ran for governor of Texas, welcome. I mean, I think that Spanish people, I find the same thing with, I don't want to start naming the groups that I have particular affinity with, but I will. Albanians, Armenians, or other like Lebanese Christians, Italians, you're nice to them and respectful of their culture. They pay you back in you know, bounty. I mean, they're over nice to you if you're nice to them. And not over nice in a negative way, but I mean, they really appreciate people that recognize them. And I think that Spanish people are very, very sensitive, particularly with the immigration, and particularly because so many of them are now mainstream. So you see, you mentioned Mexicans and rapists and murderers, and the vast majority of Mexican Americans are just nice people who work hard, have families, go to school, they you know, walk their old ladies across the street, or they, whatever they do, they're presidents of companies, or they deliver pizza, whatever they do. So you to generalize like that is very negative. But to Jeb Bush, to speak Spanish like that, if he could get that instead of 70% Latinos going for the Democrats, what if he brings it down to 50-50? He wins. He wins. There's no way you can beat a Republican candidate, given the fact that all the white people, all the white men vote for the Republicans. I mean, majority, overwhelmingly, particularly in the South and the Midwest. You bring the Latino into that fold, and that is a new majority in American society. And Donald should understand that. I understand also that it's one thing to be elected president. It's a whole other thing to be nominated on the Republican ticket. So there is a tendency, remember Mitt Romney with self-deportation and all that nonsense, to be harsh in the primary process, and then you try to moderate to bring people back. I didn't really mean that, or I wasn't quoted accurately. But with what Donald said, it was so harsh. And then we'll play it again. Did you find it? All right, play it again.
Hold on a second.
You got it?
Here we go.
And these are the best and the finest. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting. And it only makes common sense. It only makes common sense.
Now, that's just not my experience. I mean, in my common sense, you go to New Jersey and you see them waiting at every 7-Eleven to be picked up by every contractor that builds anything in New Jersey. And they, you know, they're not out there jacking up the convenience store. They're out there waiting to work for their $10 an hour and lunch. Here's Rick in Queens. What are you thinking about, Rick?
Hey, Geraldo. How are you?
Good, man.
Everything you just said is very true. These immigrants, they're all good people. They're here for a job. I mean, the difference is what he said was who they're sending. Now, I don't know if the word sending is different than the people who are coming.
I guess that's a fair point. And it's one that's a nuance that maybe he could take to mitigate some of the harshness. But what are you thinking about, big picture?
Yeah, he's got to calm down. But, you know, they're talking about him not being a politician. Now, when the forefathers formed the country, they didn't intend there to be politicians. I guess they knew
good point. Good point.
But they intended farmers, bankers, you know, mercantile, everyone, you know, anyone who had a part and interest in the country to become part of the government. And that's what the problem is. So that's why I really support what he's doing and what he's saying.
Who do you think should be his vice president?
I think he might pick a military guy, maybe Petraeus or someone.
Oh, interesting. Fascinating.
I don't know. I don't know the military.
What about Oprah?
Oprah?
Yeah, here's what Trump said.
Back in 1999, you told Larry King that you'd consider Oprah for vice president.
I like Oprah. I mean, is that supposed to be a bad thing?
Who the kind of people you're going to run
with? I think
with.
Oprah would be great. I'd love to have Oprah. I think we'd win easily, actually.
I think he's she'd be a powerful. What do you think of Trump, Oprah?
I prefer Ben Carson, but
okay.
A kind soul like he.
All right. Ben Carson leading in many of the neurosurgeon, the retired neurosurgeon, Rick Banks, leading in many of the polls. I can't find any instant polls yet, but we'll keep looking. Maybe as the morning tolls, we'll be able to get some polling, some reaction, some instant reaction. We know as of now his favorable ratings are down or really low. His arguments, according to Huffington Post, the left-wing publication, of course, his arguments are unconvincing. Nobody wants to be Trump. He makes budget negotiations look interesting by comparison. I mean, I don't know about that. His biography does not inspire pity. Why should it inspire pity? I mean, I appreciate people like Marco Rubio, who makes a lot of his immigrant parent background. But I can never forgive him. Oh, I guess I can forgive him. It's hard for me to forget, though, that he tried to package his parents as fleeing from Castro in Cuba when, in fact, they left Batista, the hard right-wing dictator in Cuba, in search of a better life economically in the United States. So I think that was an aspect of Marco Rubio's biography that might come back to haunt him. In fact, I'm writing an article about it right now. But I want your take. I love your intelligence and the fact that so many of you are thinking about issues. And I'll be back to you in scant seconds after these words.
This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
I tell you one thing I loved about Trump's announcement when he busted China for building that island in the middle of the South China Sea. An island in territory claimed by many other nations, including the Philippines. A very, very aggressive act. I put it on a par with Putin in the Ukraine. They haven't fired at anybody, and no one's fired at them yet in the terms of China. But they are building this island with a great big airstrip on it. And the reason it's so significant, aside from the fact that it is strategically located in the middle of all these navigation lanes, they are in the South China Sea, but it also projects Chinese power, and there's oil there. So by putting, by saying we own the ground under this water, China is putting itself in a position to claim all of those natural resources there. So that is It is distressing. I haven't heard the president say too much about it, although I have heard the defense secretary say that it's BS and that we'll continue to fly surveillance aircraft. But flying surveillance aircraft over the islands isn't the same thing as saying you can't do what you're doing. So it is interesting. It's fascinating. There is and will be a collision with the United States and China in the future at some point. Hopefully it will be resolved peacefully. Jean in Brooklyn, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Geraldo. How are you?
Good.
Good. Yes, I would vote for Trump. I know he needs to refine his speech pattern. But the one thing that you have to remember is that he's speaking to all Americans, and the number one factor is jobs. So I think that's what we have to remember, and he's not placating to one group or another, but all Americans. And I think that's the key factor that separates him from all the other nominees.
You know, Gene, I want to ask you a question. I'm getting a lot of calls from women today, and I would have expected them to be more on the Hillary side. Why are you motivated by Trump?
Because of jobs and because America first.
And Hillary, no?
Hillary, definitely not. If he had Condoleezza Rice or Ben Carson or a military person as his vice president, that would be great.
All right, Gene, I appreciate the call. Thank you. I want to talk more about that that female phenomenon, why so many women are suggesting that Trump is their man. Don't go away. We'll be back. 866 Geraldo. Happy birthday, Barry Manilow. I think the first profile of Barry Manilow, it was he was backup to Barbra Streisand and sometimes songwriter Bette Midler. Barbra Streisand. And it was at the Bands, the Continental Bands. That's right, Bette Midler, the Continental Bands, Barry. And he loved Craig, my brother. I mean, he had the hots for me.
Really?
Oh. And that was way before he was out. It's his birthday today, 72.
Think of the life your brother would be living right now, Craig. You're gone for it. Guy's like a billionaire.
Anyway, could it be magic?
Free tickets to all of his shows.
Which applies to Donald Trump. Could it be magic? Will the Trumpster pull this off? What do you think of that? What do you think about politics generally? It is such a fascinating time, isn't it? Sometimes you get depressed about things. I'm wondering what the Supreme Court of the United States is going to do about Obamacare. And we haven't even mentioned that. I mean, that decision is coming down in a few weeks. That could really, all of the, and like 34 states that have, you know, the whole system set up, it's going to uproot all. Are we going to, like, be talking about that again all year long? I mean, I may need Obamacare after, you know, another 6 months of talking about that thing. Just, okay, so what do you think? Trumpster. Let me, Manhasset, we'll go to Bill first. Hey, Bill, what's up? What are you thinking about?
Yes, hi, Geraldo. One thing that's overlooked when discussing the immigration problems in America, and that is that the people that are coming through in hordes are basically lawbreakers, in effect breaking that law. I don't know if they're rapists or this and this and that. But all of them have that in common. If they walk across when they have not...
Right.
You know,
it is a federal misdemeanor. Right.
Okay. So right then and there is a problem. Everybody all glosses over that's, oh, well, they should all come. They're nice people. Well, when my father had to help somebody get into this country from Central Europe, 30, 40 years ago, it was such a tedious thing, and he went through it. There was money had to be paid and this and that. Now it's just give a free thing to people, and then you're not watching what people are coming in. Nobody knows who's entering this country. Disease, drugs, crime, everything can enter because there's not sufficient, paying attention to anything.
I absolutely agree that we need an inventory of who is here, but I just keep going back to this, and I appreciate the call, Bill. There are what are the estimates now? 750,000 undocumented immigrants in the five boroughs. Do you ever hear about them?
Do you ever hear anything about him?
No.
And what you hear about is like, you know, this that cop in Neptune, he shot his wife.
Yeah, nine kids.
And who, were those the actual gunshots you played?
They were the gunshots. They were witnesses.
You have that?
I do. If you give me a second, I get it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, that, what was stunning to me is how people record everything these days. And I don't know how they possibly, I guess it was a, was it a prolonged argument?
It was an accident. It was some sort of car chase. There was an accident, and so maybe people were filming after the accident.
Oh, so the guy is chasing his ex-wife.
In a car, right?
I see.
He's in an SUV. She's in some sort of vehicle, and I think people were taping the aftermath.
She put one foot out, and he rammed the car into the parked car, and she fell back in, and he started shooting. Nine kids, and one is traumatized for the rest of her life for seeing her mother getting gunned down.
A kid?
Chased and gunned down by her own father.
He had a 7-year-old daughter, the youngest. They have nine kids together, from 7 to 24 years old. The 7-year-old was in the car with him, his Honda Pilot, when he shot through the windshield of his ex-wife's car.
And he's an off-duty cop from down there, from Ocean County?
Yeah, from Neptune.
And had they... Was the divorce? I mean, nine kids.
It was
kids.
A recent divorce, May 27th.
Was it about abuse, physical abuse, the divorce?
Don't know that part, but I know that they had given full custody of all the kids to the wife.
But, oh, so she had all the children. Did he kill himself?
He had, for 30 minutes, he had a gun to his head. And the officers, of course, who all knew him, this is a well-known guy on the police force, talked him down. And he finally threw the gun down and they arrested him.
Who's on the line? Arthur Idala. Oh, Arthur, hey, what's up, man?
Hello.
Hello, hello.
What's up, brother?
Put on Geraldo, dude.
That's my mother. I'm calling my mother.
So what a big night tonight. I want to, before I get to tonight, this cop killing his wife this way with the children in the vehicle. Do you think if he got a divorce based on abusing his spouse that he should have been on the force with a gun?
No. I think that anybody who's supervising someone under that degree of stress and pressure and emotional distress should just not have those kinds of tools at their disposal. And it's common practice that officers get their weapons taken away during such periods of time. And it's not like they're not useful people. There's a lot of investigative work that law enforcement officials do without ever touching their weapon. Some of the greatest detectives I know never took their gun out of their holster. So just because you take a weapon away from an officer under a particularly stressful period of their life, does that mean that you're emasculating them? It just means that at that particular point in their life, in that time, let's just err on the side of caution and make sure everybody is in a good mental state before we put a weapon of mass destruction, basically, back in their hand.
And the you know, the murder of the wife with the children in the with the 7-year-old in the vehicle, aside from the murder rap, what else is he guilty of? I mean,
endangering the welfare of a child. You can even put in a, depending on the path of the bullets, it could be an attempted murder of the child, because if how close did the bullet get to the actual child? All kinds of reckless endangerment, all types of reckless charges. I mean, it's. But obviously, the murder is the big one.
The prime charge.
That's the prime charge.
So would he do life? There's no death penalty.
There's no. But you know, you're talking about decades, and this is another one of these cases you're the king of this. I mean, mental illness, mental people getting to that point, we should be better.
But that's
than that.
What I'm talking about. When they get to that point, how can they, in a contentious divorce where the allegation is physical abuse? Nine children involved. How do they let the guy keep the gun?
They should.
All right. What do you think of Trump's announcement?
Oh, I love it. I was talking about it last night with my father. And the reason why I love it is because he's going to keep the conversation going. And he's going to bring up novel ideas. And he's going to bring around thinking out of the box, different ways of thinking. He's going to challenge people to different types of approaches that are not your typical, standard political politician safe answer. And it's going to, I hate to say it, it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be, I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to
say. So how does Trump play in Brooklyn?
I don't know how Trump is so unique. I mean, you have a very special relationship with him, but he's so unique, and he is a kind of a love him or hate him type of character. And I got news for you. I wasn't a huge fan until I watched your whole show, and I watched all those episodes. I was like, you know what? He seems okay. I know he's not a warm and fuzzy guy, He's not a huggy-huggy kind of. He's not like, you meet Mike Huckabee in the hallway of Fox. What a charming, loving, caring individual. You don't get that feeling from Trump, but he's figured out a way to accomplish some
things. Yeah, billionaires don't do a lot of hugging.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't, yeah, I guess Murdoch's not doing a lot of hugging either. But if I was a billionaire, I'll tell you right now, I'd hug you, kiss you on both cheeks, and squeeze your butt, too. As long as Erica didn't get mad.
So Arthur Idala is my guest, and tonight, Arthur will be anointed, appointed, invested, whatever, elevated to the presidency of the Brooklyn Bar Association. He will be the 100th president, top lawyer in Kings County, one of the most important counties in the United States of America, if not the world. And I am so proud to know President Idala, the leader of the Brooklyn Bar Association. And
me
as a Brooklyn Law School graduate, I got to relate.
You're not just knowing me, you're installing me. And right before you and Marty just called, Mayor Giuliani just called me a minute ago, 2 minutes ago. And he has an event tonight for the former Attorney General, Mike Mukasey. He's like, otherwise I would be there, Arthur. I'm so proud of you and your whole family and what you've done for New York in general. And look, being president
I love
of the Bar Association
family.
Is nice. I hope Geraldo to do a couple of small good things working with the judiciary.
Like what? What could you do? What could you do?
Well, I'll tell you. The biggest difference, I'm a criminal practitioner, but I watch.
You just don't play a lawyer on television.
I don't just play a lawyer, no. But I watched between my career as a DA and then as a defense attorney, the judiciary, working with the DA's offices, they changed it from all one size fits all to specialized courtrooms. So it used to be if you were charged with murder, robbery, rape, domestic violence, or anything else, you went in front of the same judge. Over the last 20 years, Geraldo, there is a specific part for sex crimes, specific for domestic violence, specific for mental illness. And all of those parts have programs that help identify people with mental illness and take guns out of their hands or take them out of an environment where they could do
that. That sounds good to me.
But they need to do that now, Geraldo, in matrimonial court. It shouldn't be, if you have a $1 billion divorce or $100,000 divorce or 12 kids or no kids, you should go into the same room. It should be, there should be more specialized units in the matrimonial world, in the will, trust, and estates world, and we have enough power now. The Brooklyn Bar Association has grasped onto the renaissance of Brooklyn because Brooklyn is the place to be now. And we're going to make sure that the law and the way it's accessible to the people will be the best in this country.
So what do you think about the way Brooklyn has evolved? And congratulations on that. I think it's a great idea. Like Brooklyn is everything you've just described. But do you worry about, certain neighborhoods, certain precincts now that summer's coming?
Well, you always do, but Geraldo, it's changed so drastically. I was a prosecutor in 92, 93, 94, right before Rudy came in. Where the Barclay Center is now, where I walk carefree with my 8-year-old son, that's where I tried all my murder cases, all my robbery cases. I would have never walked there alone. A white guy with a little white kid wearing Izod shirts, I would have been made mincemeat. They would have had my sneakers, my watch. I would have been standing there in my underwear. It's amazing how it's transformed. But of course we need to be vigilant. Of course we can't go backwards. Of course we have to keep fighting the good fight. And I know Mayor de Blasio, with all his warts and all that, he's aware of that. And more importantly, our police commissioner, Bill Bratton, is not going to let Brooklyn spiral back into the 1990s and 80s and 70s, not on his watch. So I think overall we're in good hands. But, yes, we usually when it gets hot outside, the tempers flare up, and that's when the guns come out, and that's when we have problems. But I'm confident in the current administration, especially in Mr. Bratton.
I share your confidence in Bratton. Arthur, I'm so proud of you. I'm so honored to be there to help install you.
You better kick it out tonight, Geraldo.
I'm bringing, not only is Erica going, but Saul is going, my almost 10-year-old and older woman for your son, Luca.
Oh, very nice, very nice. And hopefully we can party together in Italy this summer.
Oh, that'd be fun. Wouldn't that be fun? We'd definitely do that.
I'm expecting greatness tonight, Geraldo. Everyone
okay.
is. There'll be 500 people in that room just waiting to hear what you have to say about me. So bring your A-game.
All right, man. I'm coming. All $5. It's 18 after 11 o'clock. Love you.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
They're controlled fully by the lobbyists, by the donors, and by the special interests, fully. They control them. Hey, I have lobbyists, I have to tell you. I have lobbyists that can produce anything for me. They're great. But you know what? It won't happen. It won't happen. Because we have to stop doing things for some people, but for this country, it's destroying our country. We have to stop, and it has to stop now.
That, to me, is a very powerful, truthful statement. And I'm proud of him for saying that. Because he's absolutely true. I mean, truthful about it. It is, he's right about it. Lobbyists control our government. I mean, they exist to bend legislation, to insert their favored clause in bills that have nothing to do with what they are inserting just to benefit their clients. And it is outrageous how so many politicians are in the pay of lobbyists working for this industry, that special interest group. It's really pathetic. And I think that, you know, the theory in Britain where they have the House of Commons and the House of Lords, you used to have to own property to be in the House of Lords and have a certain wealth. And the theory was if you're rich enough, you won't steal anything. And I remember when Rockefeller first got elected governor of New York, they thought the same thing. I mean, in his case, it was true. He was an honest guy. He had nothing to steal. Why steal? With Trump, you know, he's got nothing to, you know, he doesn't have to make speeches. He doesn't have to have foundations and potential conflicts of interest. He can self-fund. I think that his wealth is not a turnoff. And I don't understand people who really believe that. I think they're bragging about it might be a little harsh. But that's just Trump. That's just the way he operates. So you found out about Billy Joel.
Tweeted us. There's a website that your wife would love if she doesn't know about it already.
Who's the Jew?
It's called JewOrNotJew.com. So you wanted to know whether Billy Joel was Jewish. So it's interesting. So he was, both of his parents are Jewish, but he went to a Catholic church and got baptized. And apparently now is an atheist, according to the site, Jew or Not Jew. I've never seen this site before, but I assume it's accurate. So the verdict from the Jew or Not Jew site is that he's Jewish because his mother's Jewish, but apparently he was baptized in a church.
Am I on that website?
Yeah, I can look you up. Hold on a second.
I want to know my father, obviously, Catholic, Cruz Rivera, one of 17.
Just when you thought, I'll read what they wrote. Just when you thought they could escape the mustache, it comes back to haunt you. There you are, turning on your TV, blah, blah, blah. Let's see, from an empty vault. They make fun of Al Capone. As for his Jewish roots, it looks like he's trying to re-embrace them after marrying his fifth wife, a Jew, but we are not buying it, calling it too little, too late. Jewish rebirth or not, we can't close our eyes to the previous 50 years of life when he embraced his Hispanic side and turned his back on Judaism. So we want no part of Geraldo. That's according to this site.
A Jew or not Jew?
Yeah, can you buy him now? That's kind of obnoxious.
Really obnoxious.
Yeah. If I had not read that ahead of time, I wouldn't have read that, yeah. So, the verdict from them is borderline Jew.
Borderline Jew. You know, depending on whether or not the religious holiday is coming up at school. Well, you know,
that's kind of obnoxious.
That's obnoxious. But I think, and certainly when you think about the persecution of Jews, it didn't matter what you said you were.
That's true.
It mattered what you were born. And I think that since Jews have suffered, I think that once a Jew, always a Jew, even if you, like Billy Joel, become a Catholic, if you so choose, or it doesn't un-Jew your Jewishness. Anyway, that's a whole other discussion. And other than the Billy Joel opening for Pope Francis. So what is this? Pope Francis going to reject him as the opening act because he's now a professed atheist?
Maybe.
Anyway, enough about that. Enough about me. Shane Callahaner, Shane McFeaner.
I'm going to send that recording to Jew or Not a Jew, just to show that you can
just
sing a prayer.
Just to irk them. Okay, I'm going to get to your calls on Trump. I haven't forgotten you. Also, you know, a lot of people in the city are concerned about the expiration of rent control regulations. It happened on Tuesday. Where do they go from here?
But all the room is not a house.
Luther Vandross, appropriate music to bring up our next topic. I'll get back to the Trump calls I think we'll have some time. But the fact of the matter is that tens of thousands, I don't actually know the total number, maybe in the hundreds of thousands, 2.5 million total apartments? Is that statewide or citywide? That's an amazing number.
That's got to be statewide.
That must be statewide. Yeah, it couldn't be broader than that. I don't know if we have rent control, what the rent control regulations are outside of the five boroughs. But anyway, the legislation that enabled rent control expired on Tuesday, and the mayor and the governor are at odds, and people are very worried. People living in rent-controlled apartments are worried, and there have been some complaints to Letitia James' office, you know, where landlords are making noises about getting people evicted if they have rent control. I don't know if those allegations are correct or true, but is there a crisis? Do we have a full-blown crisis? Who better to ask than our favorite councilman, Jumaane Williams, the Democrat in Brooklyn, who's on the committee on the city council on this issue. So, council member, welcome. So, should tenants be worried?
Well, thanks for having me again. I love the lead-in music. Just to be clear, there are 2.5 million apartments inside New York City alone that are rent-regulated. That means including rentabilization, rent control. There are about there are 2.5 million tenants. There are 1.1 million apartments.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. 1.1 million rent-controlled or rent-stabilized apartments in the five boroughs.
Yes, and there are some rent-stabilized apartments in some of the surrounding counties like Westchester. But a lot of all of these that I mentioned are focused in New York City. There is an emergency situation. Tenants should be absolutely concerned. We haven't reached yet the crisis pitch, but we're not far from it, and it is problematic. Tenants should know that they have protections right at this moment in time because landlords should have given them a lease renewal by now, and they are protected by the lease that they already have. But we do have unscrupulous landlords who will take advantage of the situation and the confusion that it causes to try to do tenants harm. So they should be very, very concerned. I wish Governor Cuomo had put more action behind the words that he said. We believe that he still has an opportunity to do that if the state doesn't act by calling a state of emergency in New York City, repealing ERSTAT, giving home rule to the city council so that we can fill in the gaps until the state.
I don't think that's going to happen, Jumaane. I don't think that's going to happen. Cuomo's too tough. He's too powerful. The fact of the matter is that this is the real question that people have. If you are in a rent-controlled apartment right now, is there reason to be concerned that you're going to lose your rent-controlled apartment or that you're going to face a huge increase to the market rate of what your apartment would rent for without rent control?
So let's be clear. If you live in a rent-regulated, because it could be rent-stabilized and rent-controlled, most of the people will be living in rent-stabilized units. So they should be concerned that it expired. They should know right now. The answer to your question directly is no. They do have protections. However, landlords will try to make use of the confusion. So we want to make sure they understand not to sign anything, not to move out of the house. But another problem is something called preferential rent. That's why sometimes it's hard to answer your question directly. The way it stands now, landlords can offer a tenant a lease that's $1,000 than the market rate because the market can't handle it. And then at lease renewal time, they can jack it up almost $1,000, in essence, kicking that person out. And that's one of the loopholes that we want to fix. Because one of the protections, the issue with rent regulations is not just the price point. It is the protections that are provided to tenants that I think anyone deserves, so that you should be able to ask for a repair in your apartment without the fear of being evicted. And that's some of the protections that we never talk about.
Right. As a legal services attorney, I used to represent a lot of tenants in housing court. But let me ask you this, Jumaane. Jumaane Williams, Democrat of Brooklyn, is a prominent member of the New York City Council. Who, or if either, is in the pocket of the real estate developers, Mayor de Blasio or Governor Cuomo?
So I also chair Housing and Buildings. The answer to your question is really the Senate Republicans. And that's unfortunate because they really most of them have not even a single unit of rent-regulated apartments. And so the tenants can't hold them accountable. We do have some senators in New York City, unfortunately, like Marty Golden, like Lanza, like Simcoe Felder, who will vote the wrong way and do have tenants who live in their building. But the majority of them are Senate Republicans that have.
Changing the subject, what do you think of the NAACP lady, Rachel Dolezal, who posed as a black woman? Are you scornful of her, or do you get where she's coming from?
I think there's a lot, and I understand why there's a lot of tension here. I've been focused on the young people who are getting shot and the young people who need services to help prevent some of the violence in our district. So it seemed like she did a good job. It does seem like you should be letting people know who you really are. Those are valid questions. But I'd rather focus some of the media that we're getting on her and some of the other real concerns that we have across the country in the same neighborhoods that the NAACP represents.
But can you be? Can you choose to be identified by whatever race you want to?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know that I necessarily have the answer. I think you should choose to identify who you are. You can still be white and very much assist in black community. So the question is, why would you feel that you've had to hide who you are to be effective in doing the job you want? So
is she a fraud or misunderstood?
I can't answer that question. I know you're trying to push me to pin me on a specific thing, but I really think I would rather focus on the issues than on just this one.
All right, so you on the big issue, let me just move out. Are you worried about this summer in Brooklyn?
Sorry?
You worried about this summer in Brooklyn?
I worry every summer about violence in communities, absolutely.
Jumaane Williams, he speaks the truth. We like having him on. Appreciate it, council member.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. Okay, back to you at 866 Geraldo. I want to go, thank you very much for your patience. And I'm telling you, we have been very impressed with all the ladies calling today on this political issue. So, Ellen in Brooklyn, what are you thinking about? And tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I can say that I agree with Trump on TPP. I think it's going to be a disaster. NAFTA didn't help. And the thing about Congress being in the pocket of
lobbyists. Wait a second. So you believe that Trump is correct to oppose this trade deal that the president of the United States has been working with Republicans to get passed?
And that's a whole conversation of a different kind, into the nitty-gritty of what that means and what's happened with NAFTA. So, yes, I think it turns us into immoral people because of how the treatment of workers on the other end, and it also deprives, makes it too easy for them to gain being the pockets of bigwigs on the other side of whatever's being traded, and it's too hard for us people.
All right, so you think it's a bad deal for America?
I think it's a bad deal all around.
Okay,
and I
so
also
what else? Are you for Trump or against him, Ellen?
I'm against him, but I wanted to say he's part of what the problem is that he's inviting people to come into New York to use it as an elitist playground. I have never seen so many people, barely English speakers, buying real estate in Park Slope, which is fairly expensive at this point, and renting in Park Slope. And I think there's some weird deals going on, but I think Trump encourages this to become just one big cooperative to anybody that wants to live here. And I think Bloomberg, look, if Chinatown can't make it because Chinese real estate investors are big on just destroying it and building big buildings, Chinatown is bustling with commerce, Geraldo. And if they're being destroyed, what is the chance of anybody else surviving? This is getting frightening.
Wow.
And it's the city is too crammed with people. You can't even get into employment offices. 1,000 keystrokes a minute to just do basic input work. No, it's too crowded. We need less people, not more people.
It is interesting. And the city is bursting at the seams. Traffic's never been worse. 8.5 million almost now. But on the other hand, and Ellen, I appreciate your thoughtful call. Thank you very much. On the other hand, they bring in money. They bring in jobs. All the pain in the ass construction that's going on. I just drive past it every morning. And you see, but those are good jobs, man. You see all those guys, they're usually union jobs. I mean, in Manhattan, they tend to be. And the unions have their own restrictions, which I am opposed to. But, I mean, that's another topic. My brother Willie, the first Puerto Rican steam fitter in the local union. And why did it take so long is my point. My sainted late brother Willie. I hate to, like, use the Catholic reference, then the Jews will get me.
Go back. You're going to update that Jew. Yeah,
update that Jew.
Yeah.
but, I mean, I appreciate that all these rich people are spending all this money. I mean, yes, the developers are getting wealthy, but they're putting an awful lot of blue-collar guys back to work. And they, you know, every union, say, steam fitter that comes in, he's doing the job. He's got to have lunch someplace. You know, he parks someplace. They, you know, they buy their clothes someplace. I think that in that sense, there's a real rising tide here. I lament in many ways that gentrification is driving out people of modest means. But as long as there's someplace reasonable where they can go, like Harlem is so different than it was when I was growing up. It's so different. But it's still the same. It's still Harlem. Just like Times Square. Times Square is so different than it was when I was growing up, and yet it's still Times Square. So I think that the essential identity, even of the Brooklyn neighborhoods, Park Slope and so forth, that people are talking about, I appreciate that there's some alarm about the pace of change and so many people coming from so many different places. But, I appreciate that this is the center of the world and that so many people want to come here and spend their money here. God bless. Buy an apartment for $100 million, $200 million. What do I care? As long as the money stays here. 49 minutes. Where's the time go? After 11 o'clock. You know, Trump really made a big splash yesterday, and I think that he will be a force to be reckoned with going forward. I do believe he will make the cut, the top 10. And I'm interested when the surveys come in to see what the exit polling, so to speak, reveals. And I think that people would watch him over Jeb Bush if they had a chance to watch one or the other on TV, for example. But I just want to end today's show, and it was really feisty, and I appreciate your participation, ladies and gentlemen. I think that Jeb Bush is really very, very formidable. I think Hillary Clinton should really be looking, because here comes, I know people are tired of the Bushes, but this is a different guy. He's not his brother's keeper. That whole Spanish thing, really, I'm so impressed with that. You know, and he's a conservative. He's anti-abortion. God bless him, as long as he doesn't try to make everybody, one size fits all. I think that he's open-minded enough about the social issues. I think that he's going to be, I think that he will be the nominee, and a powerful one. And it will be a tough choice for a lot of people in the middle, like me.